From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Thursday, October 31st. I'm Abby Larico. The Democratic Party of Illinois is eyeing six Republican-held state House seats in the hopes of flipping them blue this November.
The excitement, the kind of feedback I'm getting, it looks good.
The attempt to increase the party's supermajority includes a seat in the Metro East. Plus, this Halloween, there's an effort underway to revive a carcass-carrying bug whose numbers have plummeted in Missouri.
All is not right in the world. All is not right in our, you know, environment if the beetle can't thrive.
St. Louis Public Radio's Kate Grumke brings us the story of the American burying beetle. Those stories coming up after this news on The Gateway. Early voting will continue as scheduled in St. Charles County today. This is despite a legal challenge by a Republican committeeman attempting to shut down the polling places. Travis Hines of St. Peter's filed suit yesterday, alleging that Elections Director Kurt Barr improperly kept him from being a poll watcher at in-person early voting locations. There will be a hearing tomorrow at 9 a.m. on whether to grant Hines an emergency injunction allowing him inside early voting locations. But this morning, St. Charles authorities say in-person absentee voting will continue as planned. The lawsuit comes as the county has seen a surge in early voting, with twice the number of voters casting ballots than at this point in 2020, adding off-site parking and transportation for voters this week.
And that shuttle bus has been running since Monday, and it's working really well. And voters actually really appreciate this extra service that we've never provided before in any other election.
That was Elections Director Kurt Barr. He says wait times this week have been under an hour at the satellite location in Wentzville and less than 10 minutes at the main location in St. Peter's. West St. Louis County has been an epicenter of GOP power for the state's second congressional district. But as St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum reports, West County could shift toward Democrats next week.
Missouri's 2nd Congressional District has been in GOP hands since the 1990s, thanks in part to dominance in West St. Louis County. But that part of the district is getting bluer thanks to backlash over GOP presidential nominee Donald Trump and strict abortion laws. 2nd District resident Cindy Clark says she's enthused to vote for Democrats this year and for a measure legalizing abortion.
And I don't want anyone making healthcare decisions for myself or for anyone else.
While Democrats may win St. Louis County-based state legislative seats on Tuesday, prevailing in the 2nd District may be hard because it contains several GOP-heavy counties. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
A report finds Missourians are receiving an average of 167 medication abortions monthly through telehealth provided from other states. That's despite a statewide ban on the procedure in place since 2022. The organization Society of Family Planning found in 6 months of 2023, around 11% of the abortions among Missouri residents were through telehealth appointments with providers in states that protect clinicians from legal action. Jennifer Smith is an OBGYN and co-founder of Missouri Healthcare Providers for Reproductive Rights.
With the web and telemedicine, women are more easily able to get a hold of medical abortions and the medication for that.
The study estimates the number of abortions among Missouri residents has likely increased slightly since the state banned the procedure in 2022. Thelma Mothershed Ware, an East St. Louis teacher and member of the Little Rock Nine, died this month at age 83. She made headlines in 1957 when she and eight other black students integrated Little Rock Central High School. As St. Louis Public Radio's Andrea Henderson reports, people in the St. Louis region remember her kind spirit and warm heart.
Peggy LeCompte remembers how loving her friend and civil rights icon Thelma Mothershed Ware was. The two were in social organizations and worked in East St. Louis School District 189 together. Mothershed Ware worked as a teacher and counselor in the district from 1979 to 1994. LeCompte says despite Mothershed Ware's terrifying past, she didn't let it define her.
I think that what we learned from her was that there's a time and a place for everything. And then when that time and place comes, you should recognize it, embrace it, deal with it, and then share those parts that make another person know where they should fit in.
LeCompte hopes generations today embody Mothershed Ware's legacy and create change. I'm Andrea Henderson, St. Louis Public Radio.
It's no secret that the Democratic Party holds a great deal of political power in Illinois. Democrats have a stronghold on every statewide constitutional office, from the governor to the comptroller. And the state House and Senate are overwhelmingly blue. Every seat in the Illinois State House of Representatives is up for election this year. And as Mawa Iqbal reports, Democratic leaders are hoping to not only hold on to their supermajority, but grow it.
Of 118 total House seats in Springfield, Democrats currently hold 78 of them. That's two-thirds of the House. But even with that comfortable margin, the Democratic Party of Illinois wants even more. It's looking to expand its power this election. Lisa Hernandez is chair of the state Democratic Party.
The momentum, the excitement, the kind of feedback I'm getting, I can't help it, but tell you that it is, it looks good. In Illinois.
Hernandez has served in the Illinois House as a state representative for almost two decades. She believes the Illinois Republicans have fallen out of touch with voters. And so Democrats are eyeing six Republican-held House seats across the state in the hopes of flipping them blue this November.
We are about keeping and preserving our values, our Democratic values. I mean, the fight is there to when it comes to women's rights, working families.
One of the six seats Democrats hope to flip is the 114th District, which covers East St. Louis and some of the rural areas surrounding it. It's currently held by Republican Kevin Schmidt. His challenger, Latoya Greenwood, previously held that seat for 6 years. She lost to Schmidt in 2022 by more than 2,000 votes.
I remember just trying to understand actually what happened. That next day, just trying to figure out, where did I go wrong?
Greenwood says she was caught off guard because it's been a Democratic area for many years. And East St. Louis's population is 95% Black. Greenwood, who is Black and from East St. Louis, says Schmidt just doesn't understand the community.
He has not represented me. In 2 years, he hasn't voted for a budget that would bring resources to my community or the Metro East area.
Schmidt is a white chiropractor from Millstatt, a village of about 4,000 people, 13 miles south of East St. Louis. He says he's not worried about losing to Greenwood.
She was in office, I believe, for three terms and never lifted a finger as far as listening to constituents in the entire district.
But Schmidt has his work cut out for him to get reelected. Greenwood has a massive fundraising advantage over Schmidt. This is a disadvantage Minority Leader of the House, Tony McCombie, says is true for most Republicans in down-ballot races across Illinois.
We have lost a lot of our big donors. You know, we're not going to get a late surprise here in October of $1 million donor.
McCombie says her party faces an uphill battle in the quest to get more seats.
We're not going to say we're going to become the majority party. We're not going to say we're going to flip 10 seats. We're saying we're going to do this one cycle at a time, bit by bit, and get us closer to the map in the 10-year time.
So while the Democrats are targeting six incumbent Republicans for defeat next month and expand their supermajority even more, the Illinois GOP is taking the long view, trying to inch its way back to power. I'm Mawa Iqbal.
As trick-or-treaters hit the streets in their creepy, crawly costumes, a spooky bug is staging a comeback at the St. Louis Zoo. St. Louis Public Radio's Kate Grumke reports on a beetle worthy of a true crime podcast.
Imagine you're walking through a moonlit prairie. You hear a rustling noise and peer through the grass. Bob Mers with the St. Louis Zoo says, out of the corner of your eye,
you see there's a couple there moving a body. And when you follow up on it, you realize they're taking this body into this underground bunker that they made.
It gets worse. The couple is taking this body to feed their kids. But lucky for us, this couple isn't human. They're American burying beetles. And by moving the dead bodies of birds and rodents underground, they're doing something important. They're the cleanup crew of the animal world. These special beetles were once found in 35 states, but their numbers have plummeted. They're now federally threatened. Behind the scenes in the St. Louis Zoo's Insectarium, there's an effort underway to bring the American daring beetle back to Missouri. Zookeeper Rebecca Gann is rolling a stack of containers into a lab. Each clear box holds 1-inch-long black insect with orange splotches. Gann gives each beetle a few mealworms and waxworms. Then she sprays a paper towel to keep their little apartments humid. Gann spent a summer in southwest Missouri with the zoo's field conservation team, looking for American burying beetles. What was that work like?
Stinky, very stinky.
The surveyors use rotting chicken in pickle jars to attract burying beetles.
I think stinky is my big answer, but it's exciting too, because when you see one of these guys in the trap, you kind of celebrate a little bit.
There have been ups and downs in the zoo's effort to conserve this insect. At the first site where they were introduced, Wildcare Institute Assistant Director Mers says the population didn't do so well.
We expected that number to drop without giving them all the food and providing things for them, but we didn't expect it to drop to zero.
The beetles have done better at a second site nearby, but the zoo still keeps a population in captivity just in case. In a closet-sized quarantine room, there are more than 100 burying beetles in individual containers.
So I have here a male.
To breed the insects, zookeepers place a potential beetle couple and a dead quail in a bucket. If the beetles are into each other, they begin to process the carcass, removing the feathers and using secretions to create a preserved meatball. Next, the female lays eggs. Kayla Garcia is the zoological manager of invertebrates.
Mom and dad beetle, once those eggs hatch into the little grubs, they both actually take care of their babies. So it's just really, really rare in the insect world. And they will take pieces of the meatball off and directly feed their grubs, kind of like a mama bird feeds their babies.
Scientists are still trying to understand exactly why the beetles' numbers have fallen so much. Some think ecological pressures like habitat loss are affecting populations of birds and small rodents, and therefore the beetle. Whatever the cause, Mers says the decline is a sign of bigger problems.
All is not right in the world. All is not right in our, you know, environment if the beetle can't thrive.
To help, Mers says one thing people can do is plant native plants. That helps support the birds and small rodents the American burying beetles need to raise their next generation. I'm Kate Grumke, St. Louis Public Radio.
Well, that beetle was definitely worthy of the Gateway podcast. Our Brian Moline edited that piece.
Happy, happy Halloween, 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 happy, happy Halloween.
Of course, it is Halloween, a celebration of all things spooky. And around here, having the perfect costume is only part of the prep. You better have your trick-or-treating jokes ready. It's a tradition that's deeply and almost uniquely St. Louis.
You have to do something to earn the candy. To me, that seems like a perfectly normal thing.
Turns out since about the 1940s, doorstep dad jokes have replaced the more destructive forms of Halloween shenanigans that had been more common around here. You can find out more about the why and see how some of the area's most festive haunts are going big this Halloween at stlpr.org. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis. Theme music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur, but right now you're hearing the Silver Shamrock song from Halloween 3. Navigate the streets safely tonight, have fun, and save some candy for tomorrow. From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, I'm Abby Larico. This has been The Gateway.